But they will be sent, I mean, they're available digitally. That's how you sent me the previous one. The other one I noticed on page 19, this is Rakes Geometrics, the survey. Professional Surveying Services, 18 Lakeshore Road. Have they been paid in full, or are they doing more surveying? Or I'm just not sure the date of all this. So.
I believe now they've been paid in full.
So I just look at it. It says $26,000 was budgeted. Year-to-date balance was $3,300, so there's something, seems a little askew there, but.
What page is that on?
On 19 of 23.
I think the $26,000 is just the budget line item amount that was budgeted, and then the $3,375 is coming from that line.
Yeah, and I would think that if they're paid in full, there shouldn't be much left in that budget. Should there?
You know, the, as I mentioned previously, that you know, that column,
I know.
it's misleading. So,
yeah,
I'm not sure how they calculate. So,
okay.
Don't look at that column.
No, I just want to make sure that the surveying that they did,
yeah,
it's complete and. They're sort of paid in full, and we're not continuing to pay.
It is, and that line item is for professional services, legal, and land registry, so that would... That
it's
would
more be, than just survey.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more than just surveying.
Okay. Okay, any other comments on the figures? That's all I have. Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Yeah, resolution 23-726, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report FD-2023-19, placement of a dry hydrant for firefighting operations from Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Further, that the placement of a dry hydrant into the gabled and graveled area directly to the east of the east to the east of the paved boat launch on Lakeshore Road be approved, and further that resolution number 23-693 be rescinded. Discussion. This is my one concern is if we're going to do any reconstruction of that area. I think that's certainly in the plan. Then I don't want a situation where we have to move a dry hydrant again. I mean, if we're going to reconfigure where the boat launch is, even the shape of it, whether we widen the road there, whatever Greg's plans are, I'm just wondering if that's probably too close. And I know the fire department won't want to hear this, but I'm thinking when they made the suggestion, they weren't aware of our future plans for that, for the Lakeshore boat launch. And I'm wondering if it's too close, it might interfere. It certainly would, have an effect. It probably wouldn't be a positive one if we reconfigure. And you'd probably be back into moving it again if we had to. I mean, in the engineer's report from quite a while ago, they even suggested changing the approach to that boat launch, that it not be so steep and going straight down, that it be on an angle, more to the east, and in which case that would be right in the dry hydrant area. So I don't know whether you want to approve this or talk more about it and have them continue to investigate. Councilor Cuckton.
Yeah, I think we could discuss this further. You know, isn't there any other spots along that stretch of road, maybe by the government dock, where the water's flowing a little bit more and less chance of it, you know, freezing in the wintertime? to look at, are there other options? Just because we might have something in the future for this location, so.
Okay, Councilor Zula.
That sounds good, or maybe Rob could have a discussion with Greg about areas along there.
Yeah, I would think, and Greg probably wants to come to council at some point too, because of the previous, what happened with moving the boat launch out to the government dock area and where that went.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably you'd want a discussion of everybody involved.
Yeah.
So do you wish to defer this? Certainly don't want to defeat. So.
Yeah, defer.
Defer. Any further discussion on? Councillor Haskin, you're leafing through your
that sounds good to me. It's going to be a meeting, I think, with Greg and Rob, and say what our dilemma is and whether it can be delayed for a year until we come up with a concrete plan. You know, we know if we knew exactly what we were going to do, well, maybe it's just a case of moving over 10 feet or something kind of thing. And like you say, coming in on an angle would help our cause, and if we moved the road like we did, we definitely would have the room to do that. So, I think a site visit, let them talk it over.
Okay, call all those in favor of defer. Okay. Not opposed. Resolution 23-727, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the West Prairie Sound Economic Development Collaborative correspondence, and further direct the clerk to inform the WPS EDC stakeholder board that the Township of McKellar wishes to withdraw from the West Prairie Sound Economic Development Collaborative. Discussion? Just looking at this, I've attended the last few meetings, and as is Ina, and I think they're working on proposing a strategic plan at a cost of, they say they have $19,000 anyway. It wouldn't be anything out of our pockets right now. But I guess the question is, moving forward, do we want to even be part of the strategic plan if, for instance, we feel that we haven't been benefiting as much as we should have for our contributions in the past, and what is really going to change? And the question is, I guess, do we need an EDO for the whole area? Is it benefiting all municipalities as opposed to the area, and in particular certain ones? And I think that's the question we have. I know, did you send out to that everybody, Archipelagos?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're looking apparently at giving reasons. The only thing here, we don't have any whereases explaining why we would wish to not go any further with this with our past experience. Whether you want to include whereases, whether you just want to leave it as is, at least with the whereases you have some reasoning explaining why you're making a decision. Because it can be interpreted so many ways if you don't have a whereas. But I'll leave that up to council and get your thoughts.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to have whereas is when we really never received any much in the line of information on what it did accomplish throughout the years. You know,
that's your first whereas.
Well, yeah, okay. Not enough information, but and it's hard. They can't. They have tried. They've been asked, you know, what have you done and all this kind of stuff. And it's, I'm sure they've done some stuff, but it's hard to put whereas is when. In my mind, I think we just, in this case, we just say what, or just vote on what we feel, unless somebody wants to add a whereas.
I'm good with the way it is.
Yes,
I was just going to speak. In the year that I have been attending the meetings, I have not seen any benefit to the township.
No.
I really have not. I think it caters to the corridor, and we're not part of it. And I just don't think, for what they're going to be looking for money, I don't think there will be a return on it.
Yeah, I think in my mind, when I see the amount of money we would have to budget for it, I would almost think that if we're going to budget any amount, it could be less than that, and could go, we could set up something where our businesses could approach for something like, I'd like to see something in place where maybe better signage or, you know, enhance, give the businesses in our municipality a chance to enhance in certain ways, and whether we could help them do that with a small budgeted item that, you know, similar to the donation idea. So whether we won't want to exercise that, I'm sure Roseanne will say no, you haven't got the money. But a small amount to show that we still care about, you know, making sure businesses do exist. We need them. So just a food for thought. But as far as that's, I know we've had problems with paying the amount we paid before, which is a lot less. So it's like all of a sudden, for something we're having trouble struggling with seeing a benefit, and all of a sudden it's, the funding's gone from, I guess, above. So I think we have to, without that funding, it's pretty hard to afford.
And I tried to express it at the meeting itself. We did a survey a number of years ago that we asked the people. It was quite extensive. And majority, I don't know what the figure was, probably, but they just said, we asked one question, is there anything that the township, the council can do to help you in your business? And most of them said no. They're fine on their own. Most of them were independent contractors, very small, operating out of their own home. And they'd have a couple employees, perhaps. And they weren't the big businesses that were looking for all of the money. And they just said, really, I guess less government is better. So they didn't want us involved. And that was a survey that was done, as I say, quite a while ago now. And maybe things have changed since. But that's what I found. I tried to convey to the committee that we're a different nature than, as you say, the corridor. And we do have independent contractors who really don't want government interference. So I think locally we could probably do some things to help out, as you said, through donations or signage or different things. They used to be an actual association. They ran their own, and but that sort of died out too. I guess as businesses come and go, and they were looking for benefits to keep the association alive, and I just didn't see it. So I have no problem with it either, the way it's worded. I'm just saying how it might be interpreted without some reasoning, because you know how people respond. And just say, there they go again. However,
well, do you want to defer it and then add some whereases for the next meeting? I think, you know, the report itself pinpoints what it is that will improve the economic situation for the West Prairie Sound area, and it's assisting increasing housing capacity. You know, the amount of employees that commute to the West Prairie Sound area and then take that income and it leaves Prairie Sound is quite considerable. And then it deals with the shortage of staffing as well. If they can't find housing, well, then, you know, that's not going to improve the employment situation for businesses that are trying to find employees. So if this collaborative wants to do anything, is to now focus their shift and to assisting in increasing housing capacity.
Which doesn't seem to be under their purview. I mean, they seem to be more interested in tourism and establishing new businesses.
I think approximately 2 years ago they had one meeting in regards to, maybe it was 3 years ago, and they had one meeting, but it seems like nothing became of it. So a lot of great ideas, but not a lot of focus.
Councilor Zula?
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, like, how many of these things benefited McKellar. It says facilitated the creation of 50 new jobs, 6 new businesses, 20 existing businesses, 8 new business, strengthened connections with 30 identified stakeholders. Like,
well, it was pointed out that more detail was required, but also the word facilitated, very general, and that doesn't really say an awful lot.
Yeah, so like, I don't think really. And then the fact that they, why did they go through 3 EDO officers?
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
And even the other municipalities questioned what they were actually getting out of this.
Mm.
So it wasn't just...
No, it'd be interesting to see how they vote on it, yes.
Yeah.
Because you're right, at the meeting they questioned. But I'll have to... I think the message they kept trying to push anyway was that it's not municipality by municipality, what you're getting from it, it's the area. And that's a tough one because certain places are getting tax revenue, other ones are not. Certain ones are getting spin-off because of location, others are not. So you can work for the region, yes. And I keep emphasizing too that we want to keep, I mean, it's all the way through the report, the word region, we want to call it area, because we're not regional yet, but anyway, I guess their argument too they threw out was that the number of people from your municipality that are working at these various locations and jobs, and that's something that's hard to actually survey, but
yeah,
well, and like you pointed out, they use the word facilitated.
Right.
When you actually look at some of these businesses, it was private enterprise. They seen that there was a need for a certain, you know, product or service. And whether this existed or not, they did this on their own.
Yeah.
You know, if they spoke to the ADO officer, maybe they did or maybe they didn't. You know, maybe the ADO officer went there afterward and said, oh, this is great what you're doing here, and marked that down as facilitated. So, because we never really did get any concrete information when the ADO officer did come here, and I wanted to know what the measurable deliverables they did accomplish. And anyway, so I know that the information that I did see indicated that these were private enterprise that were servicing a need, and they did it basically on their own. And any of the services that the this collaborative seemed to be able to provide, when I looked it up, the CB and DC provide a lot of those services anyways without the collaborative.
Any further discussion? Call the question then. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-728, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, whereas Project ECHO, Ontario Skin and Wound, is designed to train wound care teams, doctors, nurses, allied health, across the province of Ontario, targeting a special population of Indigenous, North, isolated, and remote communities, and whereas Project ECHO, Ontario Skin and Wound, has had two funding cycles, 2018-21 and 2021-24, and its renewal is scheduled for April the 1st, 2024, with the application due at the Ministry of Health on November the 30th. Now, therefore, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the following. Number one, to continue ECHO Ontario Skin and Wound with evergreen funding. Continuous funding guaranteed with annual budget negotiation, alongside additional support for educational outcomes and a collaboration with Diabetes Action Canada. And two, to create a virtual identified patient consultation service utilizing Wound Bed Prep 2021 for patient navigation and clinician support for previous ECHO participants, and to bring advanced wound care expertise to clinicians in Northern Ontario. And further, that this resolution be circulated to the Minister of Health, Sylvia Jones, project lead for Project ECHO, Gary Sybil, and Executive Director of FONOM, Matt Bain. Discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Now hold. Carried. And resolution 23-729, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas the Police Services Act 1990 was amended to include new requirements for the Community Safety and Well-Being Plan, and whereas all municipalities across Ontario were instructed to develop and adopt a community safety and well-being plan in partnership with stakeholders and groups that are active in delivering services within their community, and whereas complex social problems cannot be addressed by police services alone, and that local service providers working in areas such as health, mental health, education, community service, social service, children's services, and youth services play an integral role. And whereas too often information and service silos are created which limit response effectiveness, providing inadequate services and not take full advantage of available resources. And whereas an advisory committee was formed in the West Prairie Sound area that included various agencies and community organizations to understand the issues that residents of the West Prairie Sound area are facing with regard to safety and well-being. And whereas the committee developed the West Prairie Sound Area Community Safety and Well-Being Plan, a multi-sector approach to community safety and well-being. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby adopt the West Prairie Sound Area Community Safety and Well-Being Plan. Discussion? I wasn't sure of the origin of this, so I don't know whether the Commander of the Police Services Act before my time, I guess. But I guess the question I had initially was, who sat on this committee, if there was a committee, who organized all of this to come up with this very detailed report? All kinds of information in there, but I'm just wondering. And again, we're committed to it, by the looks of it, as an area. And it's all part of what we're doing as a group. But I'm still not really aware of who's sitting on this committee gathering this information. It started before our time, I guess. But does anybody really know?
I think, I'm not sure, but I know that like DSAP has a big role in this, and the OPP, they refer to it, we know it as the situation table, but they call it the collaboration table here. And it lists the different groups like DSAB and West Prairie Sound Health Center. And they've been working on this. So even when the provincial government was promoting, you know, this type of holistic type of approach to social challenges, then this already was sort of in place in the West Prairie Sound area and having really good results, you know, connecting people with resources they needed to be able to deal with whatever situations or challenges they were dealing with in their lives. So instead of it just going, the police dealing with it and going through the criminal justice system, then it tries to connect the people to the mental health care workers come and they assess the situation and determine what the real problem is and connect the people with the resources. So it is effective. And
so I guess the question was, like, who organizes it all? Because if they're all separate institutions and government agencies, there must be somebody, because it says here each year they meet. I'm not sure who they are and whether there's somebody from DSAT, as you say, somebody from police service. Is there a separate committee set up? This is what I'm trying to figure out. That gathers all this together and goes to each group.
So it says here, early in 2021, the area chief of fire officials were asked to move this planning process forward on behalf of the municipalities. An advisory committee was formed and included representation from the following agencies, communities: HANS, Family Network, DSAB, Child Services, Health Unit, West Prairie Sound Health Center, Paramedicine, Henvey Inlet First Nations, OPP, School Board, and Community Mental Health.
So I'm just wondering, as I said, I don't want to belabor this, but I don't think Rob has mentioned this to us, and yet he's in the fire department. So maybe he has, I don't know.
This, Gord Harrison, the fire chief in Carling, has
right.
been very instrumental in doing this, working with the other fire chiefs, but Gord Harrison is probably the lead that we would go to.
It would be good to know, you know,
yeah.
who is the lead, and that way if we need to contact them and just to maybe to even get an update. And
I'll give you his address.
Because it is, was sort of a surprise to see this just appear.
Yeah, and as I say, it was sort of a rush to get it on the agenda even, so we had to scramble. Councilor Zulak, you had a question?
Yeah, it was just so for clarification, it says, and I lost the chart, where it said our municipal representation, and so is that in the future there's going to be municipal representation? Because I read in here somewhere that they thought that that's what was lacking. They had all, you know, DSAB, health unit, YMCA, stuff like that. But then...
Yes, they did say they wanted municipalities on board, but
yeah.
I don't know how that would be organized. Other than the fact that we're adopting it.
Yeah, it says, Plan Leadership Council, Municipal Representatives, right? Maintenance of the plan. Then it goes to municipal support staff and then to OPP, Mental Health Center, and stuff like that. So I just was wondering if at some point, or is there going to be, you know, representation from the municipalities on this, you know, meeting once a year or whatever they do, and then you would have an idea of what was going on.
Yeah, good question.
That might be when the it moves to a police services board, the OPP detachment police services board, that maybe that's when things become more a little more interconnected with the municipalities.
Yeah, it's just interesting that they mentioned police and then they went to fire, as you read there. But they're the ones that coordinated it. So.
Yeah.
Lord Harrison.
Yeah, particularly when it's coming out of the Community Safety and Police Services Act.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can investigate further. I don't think there's any cost to this at this point. So it's just a question of finding more information about it, I guess. And as you say,
mm-hmm.
Lord Harrison may be the contact person to find out more. So we'll put the question out there. Do you want to approve without any further information, or defeat, or defer? And so I'll call the question.
It was a great report. Like,
oh, it's in great detail. Yeah. All those in favor? Not opposed? Gary? Resolution 23-730, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Fekinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby renamed Fire Route 152A to Dockside Drive. Discussion. I'm wondering if we should add to that as per somebody, because rather than just us picking up the name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in 2022, the proposed name was North Shore Road, and it was not approved because it's a road in Point of Barrel, and we didn't want confusion with 911 dispatching from Perrysville. So John Toohey and Scott Buckingham both reached out to me to provide the second choice of the road owners, and it was Dockside Drive, and there's no other name similar to it in the area.
So can we put as per recommendation from?
Yeah.
Do you want to use those two names? Or?
I'm trying to remember their road association or cottage association name. Manitou Peninsula?
Manitou Peninsula Association.
Yeah, I would put as per that association name.
We just don't want a situation where somebody who lives on that road comes in and says, where did you get a name like that?
Yeah.
Well,
you voted in favor.
Yeah, that's right, you voted.
We've got the document saying so.
It's Manitou Cottage Association.
Still cottage, is it? Okay. So the amendment is just adding the. At the end, as per the recommendation from Manitou Cottage Association. Any further discussion? Call the vote on the amendment, first of all those in favor? Not opposed, and then the resolution itself, as amended. Call the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried.
I was quite impressed when I seen that name suggestion that it hasn't been used, and, you know, it's sort of fits in the shoreline. Community.
Yeah, resolution 23-731, moved by Councilor Hassman, second by Councilor Keckman, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the following 2024 holiday schedule for the Municipal Office and Community Center. Monday, January the 1st, 2024, New Year's Day, Monday, February the 19th, 2024, Family Day, Friday, March 29th, 2024, Good Friday, Monday, April the 1st, 2024, Easter Monday, Monday, May the 20th, 2024, Victoria Day, Monday, July 1st, 2024, Canada Day, Monday, August the 5th, 2024, Civic Holiday, Monday, September the 2nd, 2024, Labor Day, Monday, October the 14th, 2024, Thanksgiving Day, Monday, November the 11th, 2024, Remembrance Day, Wednesday, December 25th, 2024, Christmas Day, Monday, December 30th, 2024, Christmas Break, and Tuesday, December 31st, 2024, Christmas Break. Discussion? I haven't looked at the actual calendar, but I'm just wondering why the 30th and 31st were put in specially, because we usually have a Christmas break resolution, which includes those days. So,
Council can continue to do that. We did a holiday schedule as other municipalities putting out their regular council agenda meeting schedule, also put out the holiday ones, and then the public is well aware of closure dates for the municipal office. So we thought we would just add the Christmas closure dates as well. But if council wants to remove that from this list, that can be done, and then the resolution can just be passed.
I see no problem with it. I would assume that the resolution for holiday hours will be coming out in the next council meeting, and it will include those 2 days, because I think it's through to January. It closes from the 23rd or 24th through to January for the office. But that's fine. There's no point taking it out of here. Right? Any comments on those days? Yes.
I don't have a comment on the days, but I'm just wondering, is this how it's going to be posted on the website?
Yes.
Do you think that maybe we should put where it says does not include the transfer station, library, or public works? Should we not put highlight that in red or something, or
yeah, I can.
Something?
Which one are you looking at there?
Just on this, where it says does not include the transfer station, the one that's
okay.
going to be posted.
Okay. Yeah.
It could go up a font even.
Yeah. So just something so that it's noticeable.
Yeah, actually, and it's not on the resolution. That's rather interesting.
Oh. That they're okay.
That's what I'm saying. They're really not.
Awesome.
So maybe it should be in the resolution too. That does say for the Municipal Office and Community Center, but
no, I think we need to make
might
it
be
clear.
Interpreted that and does not include or something. So that was all that was added then. Further does not include the transfer station, library, or public works.
So Good Friday, a lot of municipalities do not include Good Friday, only Easter Monday. I think there's 9 statutory holidays in the province of Ontario. And here we have 12.
These dates include statutory holidays and paid vacation or paid holidays as per the human resources bylaw.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can discuss some of these dates when we discuss the human resources bylaw.
Yeah, there'd be further discussion, I think, when we go to the closed session.
And so, yeah, this is advertising for 2024, so is this the first time that we're advertising a year in advance of the holidays?
To my recollection, yes, but it's more just for the public's information as to know when the holidays are. Instead of posting notice a week or 2 weeks prior to the office closing, then the public will know a year in advance when they can expect the municipal office to be closed.
I think it's good for the advance notice. I mean, obviously, we'd still do it the weekend before sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
that we're closed on the Monday. So,
yes.
But I think that's good to let them know. And I guess I question, but nothing has been legislated yet for Truth and Reconciliation?
No, it's a federal holiday, but not provincial or municipal.
Okay. So it's not mandated, though, because some of the national or the
no.
federal are.
No, so last year, just federal employees had the day off and paid, but provincial or municipal did not.
Okay.
Unless municipalities changed it to have it in their human resources policy, but most did not.
Any further discussion? All question then? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-732, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report number admin-2023-19, St. Stephen's Church renovation tender results for information and award RFP number PW-2023-15, St. Stephen's Church renovations to Northern View Construction in the amount of $70,156 plus HST of $9,120.28. For a total amount of $79,276.28, and further that a 10% contingency be added to the contract for any unforeseen structural repairs when removing the chimney as recommended by the chief building official. Discussion? Mr. Kekkonen?
So yeah, there is a review provided here, schedule of St. Stephen's Church revenue expenses, November 21st, 2023. Is that coming up further on the agenda, or is it basically
Roshan gave us some information on that.
Yeah, nothing on further in the agenda to deal with that at all.
So I just had a question, expenses. So the contract for J.S. Masons and property, when the tender was awarded, it came in at $169,500. And here in this summary that I just referred to, it says that the expenses was $152,638.98. So did it come in under budget?
No, that's without the HST.
Without HST?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to add another 17,000 on here, just because when you look at all the expenses and you look at what we have in our reserves or the upcoming, if we receive the grant funding, so the total that we have in reserves is $175,225.10, and the, what is this? Oh, actually, you know, the total that we have in reserves is $89,750 plus $18,000 plus $67,000. So what it all boils down to, when we've pulled everything out of reserves for St. Stephen's and Hemlock, and if we get the funding for the St. Stephen's church, now, since there's a difference of 17,000, we have 13.
So basically, as of now, if we just look at our reserve, see the total reserve we already used for the St. Stephen is $108,225.60. That's the three reserves: cultural reserve $74,750, historical reserve $16,610, and historical committee reserve $17,469.50. The total of these three reserves is $108,225.60. So, but the expenses as of now is $152,000. So basically, expense against the reserve is more, and we haven't collected revenue from or grant from this NOHFC yet. So I would suggest, I already submitted the request for funding from the NOHFC last week, and they reviewed my the application, and it seems they will provide us the some of the money to cover foundation, and I'm hoping that money will be received in next 2 weeks. So I would suggest if you can defer this RFP by next council meeting. So by that time we will get some revenue also from the NOHFC, and then we'll be in better position to cover the expenses.
Well, just because I just want to sort of see where the contractor is, because they probably want to plan out their work schedule for the upcoming year here.
So the proposal is good till December 18th.
December 18th?
Yeah, so if you defer it till December 5th, council meeting, we'll probably be in a better decision, or a place to make a decision. The second meeting of the month might be too late, but I can speak to the contractor and see where they're at. I know they're not anywhere near starting this project. It will most likely be completed in the spring. So I don't think there's any rush, so deferring for a meeting would be beneficial.
Okay. Because they've done a great job on Hemlock, so definitely want to make sure that they're still lined up for this, but just want to make sure that the finances are in place so that we know that we're doing this with finances that we actually have. So
yeah, I would suggest to defer it, because submitted the application last week, and even the advisor was on site to verify the
wow.
The expenses.
Good.
On Friday, actually, last Friday. So, and I got an email, he was okay with the expenses, and he said maybe in week or two we will get the money.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, at least we will see some revenue, and then we can plan the expenses.
That's great, thank you.
And start planning on future use of the buildings. Come up with a plan.
Yeah, that's the one of the question, because CBO was with the advisor on site. He did ask the CBO what the is that the intended use of the church is going to be a museum, and CBO didn't say anything. But then obviously we have to plan something for the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Call the question for a deferral then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried? Deferred? Resolution 23-733, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haslam, be resolved the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the quotation from Iron Design Welding for the supply, labor, and materials as required to custom manufacture and install exterior handrails approximately 8 feet on each side of the stone entrance steps of the St. Stephen's Church in the amount of $1,490 plus HST of $193.70 for a total of $1,683.70. Discussion? Councilor Keck?
So I have been out there recently, and I don't think we're even close to being at the stage of setting up hand railing, because if you actually look at the site at the front door, if we need to put in a wheelchair accessible ramp, it would be coming on the west side here. Coming up the front is just incredible. There's quite an incline. coming up the front just because of the building being raised, and now you've got you'd have to go take a look at it, but it's quite steep for a wheelchair accessible ramp, so you'd have to come off the west side here. And I think if anything, what we could focus on right now, because you basically would have a difficult time walking to the front door without having a pound of mud stuck on the bottom of each foot. So if we can get some gravel or something to lay down in that area, so you can at least go and take a look at, right up to that front door, I think that would be something we should focus on in the near future.
Well, I know I'd mentioned somebody had talked to me about a ramp there, and then I'd suggested that you look into it, and I thought the handrails were to take the place of the ramp, but obviously it's not. We're still thinking ramp, I guess, and these would interfere with that.
Ramps are more landscaping, like fill, so there's not as much of a slope of the ground kind of thing. So it's going to boil down to, I think, a site visit, and I think maybe Greg could be involved in that and see what could be done with you. I'm hoping by the time we get all our funding and everything, at least the math that I did, that there may be some money left over at the end of the day still in those reserves, and we could maybe in the springtime when it dries up enough, do a little bit of refiguring of the landscaping. And I've kind of even wondered, like you say, where it drops off fairly quickly in front of the doors down kind of thing, whether we would actually look at some sort of retaining wall instead of having that steep grass embankment, with the rocks kind of thing, and to make it more manageable to maintain in the future. So I think a site visit and determine how we're going to deal with that entrance situation. But so I would almost think for now maybe defer this until probably springtime at least kind of thing. So we just either defer it, and it'll be a long time before we deal with it again.
In which case, Iron Design's going to be sitting, wondering.
They should be notified saying thanks for the quote, but it's probably going to be...
We're not going ahead at this time?
That's right.
Okay, that's probably better than deferring than just defeating. Mm-hmm. And then explaining it to
them. Okay.
I don't know. It's Councillor Zulak's motion.
Yeah, I would say defeat it and then send something to them, telling them that, it's a little early, that probably in the spring we'll look at it again when we have a better idea of the layout.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Call the question then. All those in favor? Opposed? So it's defeated. Not sure how she's voting.
I'm defeating it, sorry.
Resolution 23-74, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Whereas Council requested the recommendation from the Director of Operations on the finish of the proposed handrails on the north and south side of the municipal building complex, and whereas the Director of Operations recommends a stainless steel railing as they're being placed in high traffic areas, now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the quotation from Iron Design Welding for the supply, labor, and materials as required to custom manufacture and install stainless steel exterior handrails approximately 52 feet and 42 feet on each side of the municipal complex building in the amount of $8,480 plus HST of $1,102.40 for a total of $9,582.40. Discussion? So we have that clarified. And where are they going? Each side of the building. And this is the extra that you talked about, I think, getting it done at the time.
Stainless steel.
Stainless steel finish down each end of the building, post office and youth, and to that.
Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-735, moved by Councillor Hoskins, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2023-73, being a bylaw to impose charges on property owners in a designated area, Craigmore subdivision, for the provision of road upgrades by the township, a third reading, and further passed in open council this 21st day, 2023. First day of November, 2023. Discussion?
Were we not going to offer a longer term than 5 years?
That was discussed, but I think Roshan can speak to it. Maybe put him on the spot here, but he was talking amounts, so I think at one point. So.
As I mentioned last meeting, that you know, by the time the collection process will start, it will be already 2 year of grace period, and then if somebody selected 5 year, elect the 5 year, then that resident will get the 7 years instead of 5 years. So I would rather go with the same terms, unless you know council thing, because he with the 40 including. 40 residents, roll numbers, the cost now reduce compared to the previous notice we did.
So I don't really have the figures in hand. I'm putting on the spot here. If somebody took the 5 years for that amount, what was it, 2,600 roughly?
Yeah, 2,600.
What kind of payments would they be making?
$530 a year.
A year?
Yep, so yeah, that's down to 40 something a month. So, yeah, that
again,
should be,
you know,
doable.
It's my time and, you know, the
right.
Mary's time, and by the time you send, collect money, it's.
Yeah, I can see where going beyond the 5 years has become a long, drawn out affair, and. I don't know if any of them actually were here saying we needed more than five. I don't think they were saying that. It was brought up.
Yes, there are.
We have one person online. Yes, we have your name, please.
That's Bruce Pettis.
Okay.
And actually, I own four properties, not just one. So. But yeah, the idea was to, the original plan showed 15 and 20 year options, 10, 15, and 20 year options. And that's what was voted on. And now it's down to 5 years max. And I disagree with the 7 years, because that's 7 years since the plan was first introduced, not since the job was complete. The job was only just completed this summer, this past summer, 2023. So it's not 7 years from job completion.
I think it was completed last year, 2022 summer.
Summer of 23. This past summer.
Thanks. I just have to clarify when he was working on it. I'm not sure he worked on it this summer, did he?
No.
No. It was last year, I think.
Yeah, it was 22. He never worked on there in 23. He was basically over here.
Mm-hmm. We're just looking at the costs, as we say, over a 15, 20 year period, and the cost for the paperwork here, I guess, too. Is that going to add, as our treasurer has just said, is it worth the extra cost here for the extension to 15 and 20 years? What would they be paying there if it was a 20 year proposal? Councillor Haskin, you got to figure it out.
No, but there'd be more interest, no doubt. So, for that reason, it's not a great benefit to the property owners. But if Bruce's suggestion that a longer time frame, could we settle?
I think the other thing that you talked about at the last meeting was the terms given to Bailey, which was, I think, the maximum term was 10 years. And I don't know how the cost per lot, however you want to classify it, compares to Bailey subdivision, but basically they started the same time we are. They started spring 22. So what was offered to Bailey?
And you're suggesting that it was a 10-year payback?
I would. It's better if I just
very longer term.
Right.
And obviously, my understanding, the reasoning was that, you know, that was the first project we did it, and whatever the offer was done previously, we went with that offer. But then, you know, with this new comment, I would rather suggest to keep it 5 to 7 years max. Because again, as I said, you know, the collecting and sending the bills, it's not even worth of my time or Mary's time. Because, you know, monthly, if the person pays $20 or $25, my time and Mary's time would be more than that.
Can't you just add it on to the tax assessment every year for the next 5 years? It's all computerized, no extra work.
We can, but then as the bylaw was suggested that it's going to be quarterly, and I wanted to keep a separate from the taxes so we can have a clean record for the collection and the amount bills we are sending and we are collecting. So that's why I don't want to include as part of the levy or taxes.
I understand it's a complication idea. As a retired accountant, I understand that reasoning. but it would remove the extra cost of extra time and extra labor if it was done that way.
Yeah, I think the idea of the it could be collected through taxes, but that's only sort of as a last resort. I mean, that wasn't
yes.
The
point. Yeah. It's just an alternative I'm offering as a counter argument to the extra labor and extra time cost that's being presented now as an excuse.
Okay, any other questions from council? Whether you want to consider extending that or leaving as is.
I believe there was also an issue when the plan was presented, it was based on civic addresses, and there were only 35 divisions, and now it's being based on rural, and there is 39. Which has increased the number of shares for certain people. For instance, my share has gone from 5.25% of the total cost to 5.75% of the total cost to 10.25% of the total cost. I'm in a very small minority here because there's only about 2 or 3 other owners in there that are affected by this, but. And it does lower the cost for the other owners. That's why there's not a lot of support for my my comments on this. But it is a concern of mine. I'm sure it's gone from 5.75% to 10.25% of the total cost compared to what I voted on 2 years ago.
I'm just trying to recall when we discussed this at a previous meeting. There were some comments coming through the chat line, and others had talked about repayment done through road frontage, and it was agreed.
Yes.
It was agreed by the people in there, I think, as a majority vote. I didn't see the vote that it would be done by property.
Yes, and the properties and the number of ballots sent out were based on civic address, of which there are only 35. And that's what the plan and the ballot set out based on. I researched this since your last meeting. Brought up the idea of driveways were counted, and it wasn't driveways, it was civic addresses.
So
you've got 35 to 39.
And we have two township properties in there too. That
yes,
would be.
You've got 41.
Right.
But 39 shares and there was 36 civic addresses, but one of those was a township property, so it was 35 shares in the plan based on civic addresses. And now you're switching from civic addresses to roll numbers, because certain double lots, two roll numbers are owned by one person and have one civic address.
Right, and this has gone through the solicitor as well, right? And I think it's been done through roll numbers. Was that at the solicitor's suggestion? Was that done? And as far as the township, as far as the township too, my understanding that we wanted the township included, so the township is picking up two of those lots. I mean,
the township is not picking up two shares. That was actually discussed at the last meeting, that you couldn't repay yourself, so you were exempting your properties from having a share.
That's not what I heard.
That's what I had. Sorry, I may have misunderstood, but I believe that's what you said at the last meeting.
Well, I had certainly said that the two township properties would be included, as we did before in the 1980s up in McKellar Lake Road, so that we pay our share. So that would reduce it for each property owner in there. That's just clarification anyway, my understanding of it. Okay, well, we appreciate your input.
Okay, the main concern, I think, that is shared by more of the residents is the terms of repayment, and we would love to see you go back to 15 or 20 year terms. I understand the accounting obstacles presented by that, but I think at least being treated the same way the Bailey was treated, since they were completed basically at the same time, within 12 months of each other, would be fair. Okay, thank you for listening to me.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion from council with this input?
So are we changing the term to 10 years instead of the 5 years?
That's council decision, so what do you think?
Well, If Bailey's was given that option, and I sort of thought there was a discussion at the last meeting that we were going to look at giving them a longer term option. So I know Bruce is suggesting 15 or 20. I think that would be just way too much, but to at least match Bailey and maybe give the 10 year option. And chances are probably a lot aren't going to use the 10 year option, but I think that's the last subdivision that they were kind of going with. I would be in favor of adding the 10.
Other comments?
I'd go with that.
Okay, well, the situation we're in right now, I guess, rather than amending the bylaw for the third reading, I guess we can do that, but it probably takes some wordsmithing before you do that. Can we do that right now, or do you want to defer this to the next meeting?
Can we defer, and then we'll have it presented at this December 5th meeting?
It'd be a cleaner bylaw then.
Because another thing, does the interest rate change if it's now 10 years?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, yeah. Okay, I'll vote on this for a deferral. Those in favor? Resolution 23-736, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-74, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2019-07, being a bylaw to adopt a council staff relations policy, a third reading, and further pass an open council this 21st day of November 2023. Discussion? Question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business? New business? Committee reports? Workshops? Councilor Hassan?
Just one thing I'll bring up. I got an email from Chris, our CBO. He has the sign, the builders that were putting doing the siding on Hemlock Church removed a sign that was at the front there.
Yes,
Mike.
Notes Hemlock that. Mission. ATD.
Yeah, so Chris has it right now, and he's wondering if we want to get it refinished. I guess, is that something maybe the historical committee would like to look into? Maybe get it and see if they want to refinish it, or...
Yeah, so would the contractor be doing that, or...
Chris didn't say that. Probably not included in the quote, so it'd be a case of... But then if they're into that kind of work, it's probably a case of maybe getting a price, or somebody might want to refinish it. But I'm just letting you know that, yes, I did receive that email. He was just thought he'd ask me, thinking maybe I had an answer. I don't, but I'm thinking... And he suggested also that maybe the historical committee could... grab it and see about looking at what decide whether they want it back up there again or
absolutely.
I would think so, yeah.
And if you want to keep the historic nature of the building,
yeah,
I guess it shouldn't be touched up. It should stay. But already the building is so different.
Yeah.
I think we've lost historical value, a lot of it, but from the outside anyway.
Okay, well, maybe for the next historical committee meeting it's in the office, the sign?
Yeah, in the office.
So we can, we'll get it, and we'll take a look at it at the historical committee meeting and decide which way we want to go.
Okay.
Sounds good. Other committee reports?
That's it for me.
I just have a couple quick things I just want to mention. The library, the Lions Club, has put a donation box in the library, and all the donations will just be distributed in the McKellar area. And
this is for toys and that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Commonwealth Leaf Initiative grant, like we were requesting $49,000, 100% funding. There's actually 77 projects have been submitted. And the library received 131 community support comments, so that was really great. They were quite happy with that. And then, just quickly, would it be possible, Ina, to put the Zoom link on the township website for the library board minutes?
Yes.
Not minutes, the meetings. I got it here for you. I'll give it to you later. And then just quickly, I don't know about a pool update. I don't know, everybody probably heard, but I'll just... Do you want me to repeat the chair's presentation? Sanderson announced that the board has a conditional offer to purchase just under 5 acres on Joseph Street. The main condition is obtaining the funding agency's agreement to the change in location, which isn't anticipated as being an issue. Cost increases across the construction industry required the board to look at all options to reduce costs, the minimal impact on programming. In fact, Chair Sanderson noted that programming space has been increased. The facility now includes a larger gymnasium, and 2 lanes have been added to the lap pool. Negotiations for this site included the time it took to conduct due diligence. And then I just wanted to mention in here, it says the project manager, they were discussing the tenders and the cost relative to the budget, and the community feedback had requested spectator seating for the lap pool and gym. Miss Lewin, who is one of the architects, noted that the project budget does not support the capital investment required to provide these spectator amenities, as this is not a major tournament or competition venue.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me wonder about the 6 lanes. And then there was just... the resolution from the township, our resolution, Chair Sanderson just didn't, and no one knew, Chair Sanderson reported that this is an item of correspondence is on the agenda as it is addressed to the board. However, a request to exit the board and agreement needs to be addressed to the partner municipalities per Section 23 of the agreement, which identifies, paraphrase, that where a municipality wishes to withdraw from the board and this agreement, all municipalities to this agreement must give their consent. Chair Sanderson acknowledged that the resolution identifies that McKellar is notifying the board and is requesting that all municipalities agree to McKellar's withdrawal, and suggested, therefore, that this is not an item of correspondence for the board to discuss further, but rather for the municipal partners. So just if anybody didn't get that, I just wanted to bring that up.
That's it.
Okay, I guess it's a follow-up. I don't know if we've received any feedback yet from any municipality.
We have from two. Carling has voted to not let McKellar leave, and so has the archipelago. The other municipalities I have not heard from yet.
Okay. So that's, I'm just looking at the weighted votes there, whether it's weighted or whether it's municipalities. So
and that's what
we'll
I
have to determine.
That's what I was wondering, if it's actually a weighted vote.
Yeah, probably it's
for
two-thirds or something.
I think it's just municipalities.
I think it's just two-thirds.
Yeah, two-thirds.
It's two-thirds is
yeah.
what it says in the agreement.
So what we'll have to consider is, depending on how the others come in there, too, keeping our solicitor on speed dial, I guess, and going from there. So. Anything else from
no,
Recordings Committee? Councilor Cuckin?
So Saturday, December 2nd, the Historical Committee is hosting the Christmas Past event, and it's the major fundraiser of the Historical Committee. And it's from 2 to 4 p.m. And you can pay at the door. And it's $15 per person, $25 for two, or $5 per child. There'll be lots of home-baked goodies, hot apple cider, and tea served in real fancy teacups.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Big Sound will be leading Christmas carols. And the theme is celebrating the Pioneer Woman. And there'll be a bed turning where there'll be, I think there's about 10 different quilts, some heritage quilts, and one new quilt, which is the 150, McKellar 150 quilt that's a group of quilters have put together this year. And so what they do is they hold up the quilt, and there's a story behind each of the quilts. And as well, there'll be some other historical information provided throughout this, so it's going to be a good event for anyone that wants to participate in an old time type of Christmas pageant concert type of a thing. And it's for a good cause, for the helping to raise some funds for continuing to do renovations on the historical churches.
Okay. Other committee reports, workshops? Okay. I guess planning is probably coming out right next week.
Yeah, next Monday. I'm planning.
Yeah, resolution 23-737, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Haskell. The result of Council of the Corporation, Tom McKellar, has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Any questions, comment related to items on the agenda from the public, in person or on Zoom?
They're gone.
That's not even a long meeting. Okay. Resolution 23-738, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township McKellar, is hereby give bylaw number 2023-76, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of First and Second Reading, further read a third time and passed at Open Council this 21st day of November 2023. Discussion? All the questions? All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-739, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at 9:13 p.m. to meet again on December the 5th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.